Just going to spend some time with you, going over some of the greatest stories ever told. And what do they mean? And you can read them and go, man, I don't know what that means. All right? But if you have an ear to hear and you're willing to learn, you're going to learn something. Amen? And we're looking at some of the parables that have to do with end-time events. Jesus' disciples, are you all right? Hearing okay? Good. Jesus' disciples asked him a question. Basically, they said, when are you coming again? They didn't know what they were saying, basically. But when are you coming again? And what are the signs of the end of the world? That was their question. Okay? As if these guys could figure it out. they were just interested. Amen. When you come again? Because we hear this leaving stuff going on. You're going to be leaving or something. Amen? When you come in again, and when's the end of the age? And some of those things we read about in the Old Testament and all that kind of stuff, because obviously they didn't have the New Testament, all right? So Jesus would tell them parables, stories. A parable is not something to be told so that people are always in the dark and they don't understand. However, they are stories that will keep people in the dark. If you really don't want to know, you're not going to understand. If you really could give a rip, you're not going to understand. If you're just there to rip it apart and tear it apart and criticize it, you're probably not going to understand. But if you'll listen to the stories that Jesus told, and then you'll compare with other scriptures, there's a good chance you're going to get some understanding and some enlightenment. Okay? You understand? So parables were given really to help others to know the truth and understand, but they are also given in a way, because he could do it, to conceal truth to people that really weren't truth seekers. Does that make any sense? A little bit difficult. Let's try it right now. Let's look at this one. This is one of my favorites, actually. Here it comes. Ba-boom. Parable of the 10 virgins. You're snickering. Here we go. Here we go. Parable of the 10 virgins. I didn't make it up. It's right in the Bible, man. That's what it's called. Amen? Parable of the 10 virgins. Amen? What's that got to do with anything? Well, I've already given you a clue. It has to do, what was their question? What are the signs of your coming? And, when is the end of the age or the end of the world? These are the questions that's surrounding this passage where these parables are located. So they have to do with something about that. So let's look at it. Here we go. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10, say it with me, virgins, which took their lamps, oil lamps, and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Okay? So there's a wedding taking place. We just married off a couple of weeks ago, Heather and Kieran. Amen? So we know what all that wedding stuff's all about, don't we? We had a big fancy wedding at the plantation for this beautiful young couple. So anyway, wedding's going on. 10 virgins, they've got their lamps, and they're going to meet the bridegroom. Let's learn a little bit about it. First things first. You need to understand a Jewish wedding. And certainly I'm not Jewish and I don't have all the answers, so I go get me some help when I try to get across some of this stuff. There are three basic parts to a Jewish wedding. Y'all listening or not? Have I put you to sleep yet? Okay, here we go. Part one. The parents of the children agree on the marriage and establish a dowry. How much you giving? You know. So they establish a price. They establish an agreement. It's a marriage that's orchestrated really by the parents, okay? And there's some money involved and all that kind of stuff between the families, okay? That's part one. Number two, keep looking. Part two, the bridegroom, along with his brothers and friends, go to the bride's house to claim her, say it with me, as his very what? Own, okay? So it's a big deal. They make this big deal. The man, he's pretty excited about it, right? Amen? And so he goes with his brothers, other friends, to the home of the bride to make claim of her. You know the church is compared to a what? The bride of who? Christ, sure. You know, there's all kinds of scriptures. Jesus says stuff like, I've gone to prepare a place for you. You know, but I'm coming back again. I'm going to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. See the parallel a little bit in that scripture? This was usually done in the evening. So the fetching takes place when, usually? In the evening. And the bride would be what? Say it with me. Prepared for His coming. Does that sound vaguely familiar to some of our New Testament scriptures? Should we be prepared when Jesus comes again? Yes or no? Should we be prepared to meet your God? Yes or no? Should you be prepared to see Jesus? Should you be prepared, if your life was even taken, that you would know Christ as your Savior? Absolutely. Prepared. Okay? She would then join the bridegroom and return with him to his home. Or his what? Father's house, because many times they lived like that. He would be back in the area, the community, the surroundings, the actual estate perhaps of his what? Father. And what did Jesus say? In my Father's what? House are many what? Amen. So it's very similar. You're hearing some things. Okay. All right. Have I lost you yet? Uh-oh. Part three. There would be, say it with me, a what? One more time. There would be a what? That would often last for an entire week. Now, I've read on this. Sometimes these parties last for an entire month. For a whole month. And we think we're big and bad when we have a three-hour wedding. You know what I'm saying? But we do come by it honest, don't we? I mean, the celebrations of a wedding and the things and the festivities, it's not just something somebody made up. I mean, it has some cool biblical roots to it. So there'd be this huge party that would often last for an entire week. And after these events, they would return to their what? To their own home. So with some of that basic background, let's keep moving. And hopefully, you do this. You all right? Okay. So, we have 10 virgins going to meet a bridegroom, and they've got their what? Lamps. Come on, and they've got their lamps. So everybody has a lamp, is that right? And how many are they? 10, and they all got their what? Lamps. Now 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. So the math, it ain't like 8 and 2. It's nice. He made it clear for us. Amen. 5 and 5. 5 wise, 5 foolish. Why are they foolish? They that were foolish took their lamps and took no what? Oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels, say it with me, with their lamps. So you're not confused. The 5 weren't so stupid that they didn't have oil in the lamp that they were holding. You understand? They weren't like, got my lamp, got no oil in it. No. They were at least that bright. So all 10 lamps had what in it? Oil. But wait a minute. They were foolish because they didn't take extra what? Sometimes these parties can last a while. Sometimes, how many have ever been to a wedding and it just got started late? Can I see your hand? Amen? Sometimes it just didn't, you know, you get a bride, you get a groom with his brothers and his friends. I could say something, but I'm just not. Okay, here we go. Here we go. They could be a while. Y'all hearing me? All right, let's go with the story. So 5 virgins were foolish. They took lamps with no what? Oil. No reserve. No extra oil. No oil in a separate vessel. Got it? Keep looking. We're just talking about a story, a parable. 5 virgins were wise because they did take extra oil, just in case. He's late. Okay. Lasts longer than we think. Because these things usually happen in the what? Evening. Okay? So while the bridegroom, where is he? Did you know people ask that question about Jesus? Many times we're ridiculed because we are looking for Jesus to come. People say, oh, yeah, you said he was going to come. That's why when people like the guy in California who's an idiot sets a day or an hour when Jesus is coming, he just makes everybody look like stupid people. You understand? He makes my job really harder in life. You know what I'm saying? If you just read the Bible, no man knows the day nor the hour. Is that correct? Of course, that's what Jesus said. Okay? Jesus will come. Matter of fact, the Bible even says that not even the Son of Man knows, which is an unusual. The angels? All right? So, in this situation, this story, the bridegroom what? Tarried, and they did what? They all what? Slumbered and slept, which is not a bad thing. I mean, look, you can't stay up but so long. You know what I mean? Man, we've been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. Whew! I'm going to sleep. That's all right. That happens. Okay? The bridegroom delayed in coming for the bride, and they all got sleepy, and they actually dozed off. How many are understanding the story so far? Okay, good, good. Now, I know there's a lot more here than I'm going to give you, but at least we're trying to cover the bases here. And at midnight, there was a what? A cry made. There's a great song called The Midnight Cry, and I've been, Miss Joanne's asked me to sing it. I used to sing it years ago with a group that I had, you know. At the midnight cry, we'll be going home. Where'd that come from right there? The midnight cry. Amen. The bridegroom's coming. And at midnight there was a cry made, and behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to what? Meet him. So here they are. Back to our story. 10 wise, 10 foolish. Why are the 5 foolish? Because they didn't carry any what? Right. Reserves. No, just had what was in their lamp. It's been a long night. 5 that were wise carried extra. They all got sleepy. Why? Because many times this is what happens. All right? Keep looking. Then all those virgins arose. Bridegroom comes! Woo! Everybody's up! Don't you hate it when somebody calls you and you've been sleeping? How many are like me? Somebody will say, were you sleeping? And you'll go, no. How many are like that? You do what I do. And you sound like an absolute idiot on the telephone. No, it's fine. No. I can't find my hands, you know, or my feet. I mean, I'm like, you say stupid stuff, you know. Anyway, they're all up. All right? Here they go. My mind's crazy. Then all those virgins arose and they trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us of your, for our lamps are what? Out. They were foolish because they didn't prepare for the delay. Amen? That's why they were foolish. They weren't prepared in case it got a little late. And the wise answered, saying, not so. Ain't happening. And they're not being selfish. They want to go to the wedding. Amen. They want to be able to see. It's dark. And the bridegroom has come. All right? Not so. Lest there be not what? Enough for who? Us and you. But you, go you rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. That might be a little late this hour of the night, right? Say. It's better to be what? Prepared when the bridegroom comes, right? Instead of at the last minute trying to figure out what you're going to do. you sort of understanding a little bit in a roundabout way what this is talking about? A little bit? Being prepared when Jesus comes? Being prepared when you see the signs of His coming and the signs of the end of the age? Hey, I don't know when Jesus is coming, but it wouldn't surprise me if He came today. If He came later this week. I mean, honestly, I don't know, but I sure do see different things that seem to be signs of His coming as I look at the Scriptures. We've talked about them before. You understand? Keep looking. They all got up, began working to light their lamps. The problem was only five of the lamps actually what? Worked. All right? The five foolish said, "Give us some of your oil." The five wise said, "No way, Hosea." Here we go. Sorry. "There's not enough for both you and us." All right? Ain't happening. Sorry. Go get your what? I'm going to tell you something. I can preach to the cows come home. But you have to be saved individually. You have to put your own personal faith in Christ. Okay? Well, Grandma, I've heard people tell me, "Well, my daddy did this in the church, and my grandma did this." A big whoop. What's that doing for you? You need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. "Give me some of your stuff, preacher." I'm sorry, I can't. What I have is mine. I have my own personal walk with Christ. You understand? I can't read the Bible for both of us. I get up on Sunday, try to preach a message. But as far as my time in the Word, I can't do it in my office. "Oh, this is for William and Sue, and this is for Emily." And No. No, I'm reading the Bible. Guess for who? For me. Amen? Say. I'm trying to keep me full. Keep me full. Keep me going. Amen? You understand a little bit about the story? There's a lot of things in this story you can glean. So what happened? Keep looking. "And while they went to buy," because they ain't got no oil, "they heard the cry that he was coming. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom" what? "Came." That's a problem, isn't it? Say. Reminds me of that verse. "Well, I did this for you, Lord, and I did this for you, Lord, and I did this for you, Lord. And I was out trying to buy oil in the middle of the night, Lord. Sorry. I never knew you." Who knows? "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were" what? "Ready, prepared, went with him to the marriage, and the door" was what? "Shut." Reminds me of verses in the Bible that he opens the door and he closes a door and no man can open it. You know what I'm saying? One of my favorite verses, Revelation 3:20. "Behold, I stand at the door and" what? "Knock. If any man will open that door, I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me." But the door was shut. "Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us." Look, we can see now. We can see. Yeah. "And he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, don't know you." Wow. That's quite a story, isn't it? Say. Let's look at it. "When they got back to the procession, they were already in the father's house and the door was shut." The party had what? You ever thought about the party we're going to have one day? Amen. The marriage supper of the Lamb. All kinds of stuff the Bible talks about. Do I have it figured out? Are you kidding me? I'm going to say something else to you. Some guy that comes to you and tells you exactly when the tribulation is going to start and somebody else tells you this is how it's going to be, I want you to know, beware of a false prophet. They might mean well, but to be honest with you, we don't have all that figured out. What's Fellowship Church's position on that? Here it is. We don't have all that figured out. If you're looking for a church that has it all figured out, how it's all just going to just go to be perfect, because I was taught in seminary how it all just works right out, just like this. But I've seen so many fools now over my life. Amen. You listening or not? So you know what I think? I think we're going to do, hey man, we preach Jesus. I don't know all about what all is going to take place. I know my Bible talks about a lot of stuff, and I believe what the Bible says, but I have limited knowledge. But I know this, my Bible tells me this, Gary Clark, be ready. Be ready. Don't just have your lamp here, baby. You be prepared. You have you some extra oil. Amen? It's personal. The bridegroom said, I don't know you. The point, here's the point. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man comes. What's that word? Watch. Be prepared. You listening this morning? It's a wise thing to be prepared. You know, and something else came out of this story for me, different than it ever has before. You never know when all hell's going to break loose in your life. You never know when all hell's going to break loose in your life. You never know when out of nowhere comes a truck and it's going to just run right over you. And you can live life with that lamp and that oil, and that's what you got. Or you can live life with some extra oil. So when the truck comes, when life has laid you low in the floor, you're not out of oil. Amen? Oh, you're hurt and you're down. But you're not out. You're still in the game. Amen? That's what I got out of this parable this time around. Be prepared. Not only for Christ's coming, be prepared for what can come your way. When things don't just work out like they're supposed to, right on time. Amen? How many have had some bad junk come your way in your life? I'm talking bad stuff. Bad stuff, bad stuff, bad stuff. Man, you need that oil, baby. Amen? Don't be stupid. No, that'll never happen to me. Nuh-uh, idiot. We shouldn't think that way. Y'all hear me? We shouldn't go around with a little cloud on our head. And always something big gonna happen to me, something big gonna happen to me. But at the same time, it's all right to be prepared and to know that, you know, I need Jesus Christ big time in my life all the time. I need just to soak Him in my life. Amen. We're done. Here's some points. We don't know when Jesus is coming again. That's what this parable's about. We don't know when Jesus is coming again. All right? Got it? Yes or no? Number two, we can and must know that we're born again through Jesus Christ. We can and we must know that we've been born again, that we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We must know that. Number three, we cannot make other people believe in Jesus. This is our own personal decision. You understand? I can't shove oil in a little vessel and give it to you. Here you go! Nuh-uh. That's up to you. And number four, it's foolish to wait until the last minute to believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. It's a foolish thing. And people do that. Crazy. We don't know when He's coming again, and we don't know when you out of here. And I'm out of here. Amen? Wouldn't it be better to be prepared to meet your God? That's what this is telling us. Behold, now, say it with me, is the what? Behold, now is the what? When should I get saved, preacher man? When you get a chance. Amen? And you have a chance right now today to say, Jesus, I know I've sinned. I believe You're God's Son. I want You to come into my life. You have a chance to do that right now today. Or you can be a fool. You just keep waiting. And you hear these words one day. I don't know You. I don't want you to hear that. Amen? What a great story. Isn't that a great story in the Bible? Let's give him credit for a great story. Great story right there. That's a great story. Amen. Let's stand on up. Thank you this morning.